From the comfort of our own offices and from the airwaves that now cross all over the internets and the interwebs and the cloud above you, you have now tuned into Casting Nets Podcast. I'm your host, Will Harley, with also my cohort in crime, the bald but yet still beautiful, Don Winsberger. What we will have for you today is our ramblings, our thoughts, and our musings on topics as lofty and grand as God himself, and as horrid and as foolish as talking about things we are not professionals to talk about. But as we do these things, we are not expressing any opinions of our employers or of the synod in which we are a part. So without further ado, enjoy the show.
Hello, this is your jolly and homely co-host, Pastor Don Winsberger. Today we'd like to talk to you about Christian ministry and the COVID-19 virus. Figure that one out. But as we begin, I'd like to share with you a section of scripture from Psalm 42, verse 5. And there the psalm writer says, "Why are you so depressed, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I will again praise him for salvation from his presence." Listening to that verse, just once again, it can be, in the Hebrew, it can be understood this way, where when it says, why so depressed, O my soul, why so disturbed within me? That actually, so disturbed within me can be, why are you working yourself up? And when it makes me think about that, think about this with the COVID-19 frenzy and the coronavirus and all of the measures that we're doing, and no criticisms, because all of our churches we're looking at handling this in a godly manner, honoring the first, fourth, and fifth commandments, and we'll talk about that more in detail. But I think a lot of us, I've faced things, it's easy for me to get worked up about things. It's easy for you, Will, to get worked up about things.
I never get worked up about anything. I'm about as cool as everybody.
You don't. Yeah, I've seen your face get as red as that nice red hoodie that you're wearing. Our people right now, as I've had more opportunity this week to minister, less opportunity to minister in groups, more opportunity to minister one-on-one, dealing with a lot of people right now who are actually panicking, working themselves up into a frenzy. Where do we find, as God's people, where do we find the balance? Where do we find the balance here? And that's maybe just part of what we're going to talk about today.
Well, I mean, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with what's going on. I just had a conversation today, right after we recorded our service for Sunday and got it posted up. Had a conversation today. You know, lists are going up on the internet, right? First of all, it was, let's run on toilet paper. Let's run on paper towel. Now the lists are going up. Let's run on cereal. And so everybody's out there running on everything. You do realize that the government's not shutting down grocery stores. You realize that trucking is not stopping. They're saying, don't gather in groups of 10 or more.
And people need to realize, too, that this is the coronavirus, not the Taco Bell affliction.
Well, that's another affliction all on its own. But you know, here's the thing, and we're going to talk more about this, but don't hold me to being a medical professional. I am not a medical professional. I did not go to school to become a medical doctor. I went to school to become a pastor and to become a theologian. That was what I went to school for. But I also went to school to be a historian. And in the history of things, this is not the first time that we've had a pandemic. But not only that, it's, I know people have been tossing out that this might be Spanish flu. And I know in 1918, the Spanish flu went through and decimated so many things and so many people. I get it. But the symptoms of this thing is just like the flu. So go on and do your research, just a little bit of research. Go on and just type in how many people die from the flu and how many of you knew any of it. I mean, they're saying 21 to 64,000 people die of the flu in the United States a year. And we don't bat an eye about, oh, well, they got the flu. We don't even care. The difference is we now have a virus that we don't know how to handle. But people, guess what? Why are we secluding ourselves? Not because we're not going to get it. We're secluding ourselves because we're slowing it down so that we can handle it. That, I mean, if it went fast, like it went through China, if it goes fast, like it went through Italy, everything would be overrun. We wouldn't know what to do. So now we're secluding ourselves. We'll call it self-seclusion, however you want to deal with it, so that we're not stopping it, but we're making it manageable. So now when we talk about ministry, how do we make this manageable, right? Because this is not going to be, I personally don't think this is just going to be a couple of weeks and then we're done. I think this is going to be maybe a couple of months, maybe even longer, when we have to learn how to deal in a new sense of normal for that those couple of months for ministry, for how to deal with people, how to talk.
I appreciate the email that Synod President Schrader sent out this couple of days ago, bringing up the concerns that some of our people, pastors and congregation members have, that with some of these government suggestions from the governors and so forth, no first starting out, no gatherings over public gatherings over 50. Now it's down to 10. That if the churches comply, that the fear is that the government is trying to restrict our freedom of worship. That's not the case. We have, as Christians in this situation, we have more than one commandment that comes to bear, more than the first. And we're not downplaying its importance. But besides the first commandment and the third, we have the fourth commandment, which is honor and respect to our governing authorities who are called, elected, put in place by God to try to manage and protect society. And these are some of the measures they're coming up with in their God-given calling to protect American citizens. And then also we have the fifth commandment to bear, which we are to help and be a friend in every bodily need. And so we have concerns for other people's health as a church, as individual Christians. And so how do we, as congregations and as individual Christians, wrestle with these matters to do the most glorifying thing to God?
And I agree with you 100% on the first or on the fourth and the fifth. But you know, I sometimes think of it less as a first commandment issue, and I would probably say maybe a third commandment issue that somebody's going to say, and a third commandment issue. I would say, you know, dear listener, I love it. I love church. I love participating in church. I love leading in worship. I love serving God's people with what God gives to us to give to them. But let's face it, you can do that at home in your family. I mean, the Lord Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there I am with them. And we've always made that assumption, falsely, I think. We made that assumption. That means church, pastor. If only two of the older people show up at church, there you should have church. But no, what the Lord's talking about is, hey, dad, hey, mom, with your child, talk about Jesus. Open up your catechism. Get online and look at a service that's streamed or follow a Bible study from your meditations. And guess what? Jesus will be there.
Let's look at the entire photo, so to speak, of the third commandment. So many times we try to restrict it, just like you said, to Sunday worship. The third commandment is dealing about feeding spiritually every single day of the week. That being said, it's more than just worship gathering for worship on Sunday, which we are told by the writer of to the Hebrews to not get into the habit of not meeting together. But again, we're not to give that up either. But if we think that I'm feeding myself in this picture, let's just take it to the physical area. If I think that I'm taking care of my body physically by eating one meal a week, I am sadly mistaken. Yet our sinful natures delude themselves into thinking, okay, I go to church on Sunday morning, I've fed myself spiritually enough for the entire week. That doesn't work either.
Absolutely. And so follow me on this. As much of a scare as the COVID-19 is, I personally believe, but I'm going to ask this of you, do you believe that this is in a roundabout circuitous event that God is providing the churches opportunities to start to force them to think out of the box on how to do ministry every day?
Oh, definitely. You know, I look at it that way for the simple fact that Scripture tells us this, that whatever happens, all things work for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And I think that is inherently right in that part of Scripture to where, you know, and we see lessons in Scripture where God gets people's attention and God's people. I mean, just look in the book of Acts on how many different instances there were in the early church where God's people saw they got used to doing things one way. Circumstances arose which did not allow them to do that, and so they adapted, they changed, or they saw, or a situation came up and they saw, oh, this needs attention. Here is maybe one of those situations in the history of the New Testament church.
Oh, I would definitely say that this is a situation in the New Testament church where the demographic is going to shift, right? And look at the abilities that the technology has brought to us to do these jobs now. You just said it before we started the podcast, you were just saying how you're going to do a live stream / record of the service so that people can join in and hopefully get online and that'll work. We just did ours this morning. It wasn't a live stream, but it was recorded, and now it's facilitated with a bulletin and everything that people can download, and they can participate in the service with their house. With the encouragement that mom and dad are going to print out the bulletin and lead their children in the worship with them. I mean, this is that's my intent on that. That this isn't just me doing something and then they're just listening, but they're going to participate. But I mean, just the fact that we have virtual school stuff, right, for our LESs or for our regular schools, virtual schools that our kids can still engage with other kids, still engage with other adults or things like that for education. The virtual council or conference material that we have for having live Bible studies with multiple people other than just maybe a group of 10. I mean, there is such a grand scheme of things that we can still do to reach out to our people. But let's face it, not everybody wants to do that. So we can still meet in small groups.
Let's be clear on this, too, as we look at ministering in different ways, which so many pastors, in the ministry right now in the Wisconsin Synod, are looking at for spiritually feeding their sheep. You know, whether it's daily devotions on YouTube, and again, daily devotions in the home are such a vital thing and a necessity too, and things that very often doesn't go on in the home. Maybe this is something to jumpstart that. But my point being is this: all of this stuff, yes, it's a wonderful tool to use. There's also an element among our brothers in the ministry, an element also in our parishioners who sit in the pew, that they're afraid that this is going to become the norm. And that's another thing that I have been encouraging. That is not the intention with this. We're looking at being able to minister during a difficult time and then go back to, because the best, the most profitable, in my opinion, the most effective, and actually scripturally supported, is we meeting together physically.
And I agree with you. I don't think this is going to become the norm, but I would probably correct you just on one thing. What I think this is going to do for the church is going to be ultimately beneficial more in more ways than one. Not only is it giving every pastor an opportunity to, and not just giving them an opportunity, but maybe forcing them to step up and say, I need to find ways to utilize things that I never thought I could before.
Well,
but now,
let's just take it away from the pastor's will. I'm with you on this. But you know, this is an opportunity for our people looking at opportunities that we have to minister in our community while we're practicing social distancing and all of this stuff. But here's something that I have noticed, and this is on point, believe it or not, because I tend to take us off in different directions. But I've been watching on social media, Twitter especially, as many Christians are attacked by unbelievers during this COVID-19 outbreak, about, well, you Christians, you're so nonchalant about this. You're not taking this seriously. You're not getting worked up about this. And what an opportunity that we have as individuals with our neighbors, people that are struggling with this, who see us not going into a frenzy about this, and what an opportunity for personal witness. What an opportunity for personal witness.
What an opportunity, as the Spirit led Peter to write, to give the reason for your hope and comfort, right? To give a defense for the hope and comfort that you have. And you're absolutely right. To give those defense, those are the personal aspects that people have to say, I don't have to worry. You know, it's not the end of the world. God still has it in control. Our Lord Jesus Christ is still ruling all things for us. I don't have to be overly concerned. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't wash our hands. It doesn't mean we don't wear a face mask if we have to or whatever. But do we really have to be all concerned and so as you put it, crazy, right? You know, we're getting so crazy. But what I wanted to say a little bit, and just sort of backpedaling just slightly, and I know it's not just about the pastorate, but I'm talking about the tools that the churches now are being forced to integrate. And just, dear listener, think of it this way. When this is all done, when it's all said and done, we're going to go back to worshiping on a Sunday. But all the tools that we're using now can stay integrated into the church as still active tools for us to use at different portions or in different ways.
Let's put in a caveat with that, because I've gone through an experience like this before with this blessed gift of technology. It can continue. Please do not expect your pastors to run it.
Well, yes, of course. That is the caveat that we should probably add, because it shouldn't be his job to run everything. But maybe he can train somebody after he's had so much use with it and say,
don't be afraid to volunteer. One of the things that we had this in the conversation before we started our podcast, had a few comments about, oh, pastor, nice vacation you're getting. My wife has noticed, and she can attest to this as well, as I'm sure that your wife and family can as well. I've been more busy than this week without having a worship service on Sunday, a manned church service on Sunday than during a normal week. I mean, it's a frenzied pace.
Oh, absolutely. And now, and I don't know about you, but I know for myself, next week isn't going to be any easier, because now I have to figure out, how am I going to, or if I'm going to be able to provide the sacrament to my families? Because we can't do what we normally did, is have everybody in church and provide the sacrament to the majority of people. And so now, do we do it where families come in one-on-one and we wipe everything down after they leave and we give them the sacrament, and it's a very short condensed service? Do we invite up to 10? So we have different 10, up to 10 family, or up to 10 people. So two or three families that can come in, and we do a session. We give them the sacrament. They leave. We wipe everything down, and the next ones come in. I mean, that's going to be on my docket for tomorrow or for next week. How do we figure out? Because dear listener, outside of the Reformed congregations and outside of the Catholic Church that has given them a waiver that says you can stay away, we believe firmly here in the Lutheran Church, and I know believe firmly between myself and between Pastor Winsberger, that the lifeblood of our church, the lifeblood of our souls and our, of our comfort is word and sacrament. It is God speaking through the word who consoles and takes away our fear and guilt, but also in a very physical way gives his body and blood in bread and wine to you and says, I'm not just saying it, I am doing it. And I am here for you. And it's the lifeblood of the church. And if we are saying to our people, we're going to put that on hold, I don't know if we're doing them the greatest service.
Yes. And rest assured, dear listeners, and I say this here, and you and you have the same situation out there in Maribel too, Pastor Harley. As different congregations wrestle with this and come to plans and start implementing how to do these things, one congregation's not going to do it the same way because circumstances are going to be different, maybe, and not allow them to do things that other congregations are doing. Be careful of judging what your brothers and sisters in the neighboring areas are doing or saying we should be doing that. Your leaders are going to come up with what they feel are viable solutions for your congregation and your congregation alone. So try to be patient in this as well.
And it's not just what's viable in the congregation, but what is something that the congregational leaders can actively do. I mean, you might have a congregation that, and I'm just going to give a shout out over the air. I'm just going to do it right now. I have wonderful teaching staff at Maribel that are willing that they came in, they participated in the service that was recorded so that people could hear other people singing, not just me. They played the music. They are willing to be there for the students and they're working hard to get their job done. Not every person has that. You don't have that in Cologne. No. I didn't have that in Winter. So anything that I would come up with in Winter would have to be, if I was still there, would have to be, what can I do with the staff I have on hand? And most of it is yourself and your wife. That's what you got. Because how many, and take it as a criticism, take it as the law being placed upon your heart, I don't care. How many of your people are stepping forward and saying, what can we do to help within the confines that we have? How many people are knocking on your door?
Nobody.
I have a couple of people in mind. I do. I'm going to admit it.
Correct myself. A few, and maybe a few more will step up. Again, been working in conjunction with the congregational leaders who are helping to make these decisions. We're still in the infancy stages of this, like you. What's going to complicate this a little bit more is depending on how long this draws out. The longer it draws out, it's going to require more thinking, more planning, and more people to help implement carrying out word and sacrament ministry.
Oh, absolutely. And then, and we haven't even talked about, I mean, that's just ministry wise, right? That's just the bare bones ministry of how, because we can't visit. The warning has gone out. Don't do home visits. If you can avoid them, don't do home visits. So bring them to a controlled environment, which is the church. If you can do it by onesie, twosies, up to 10, like I said, that's a feasible thing. But now let me throw this caveat into it. One of the things that I'm undoubtedly the council will have to face at some point, every council will, funds are going to dry up. A church runs on the donations of God's people coming in to support God's ministry. But the it's going to happen, and I'm not saying it's going to happen soon, and I'm not going to say it's going to happen next week, but it's going to happen where unless you facilitate some way for people to still feel comfortable in being able to provide for those congregations, how's that going to happen? Because usually they're used to just putting it in the offering plate.
Yep.
And now you might have to find a different alternative to that. But now let's add this too into the mix. Many of our families that we're serving are right now still working, but might not as things start to close, as things start to tool down, as things start to wrap up. You know, you might have some people that are right now on half pay, or some people that are right now on a temporary layoff, but they're still getting payment up until a certain date. What happens after that date? You know, there's people that are listening around the world that are like the Ford companies or the GMC companies, where they just said, you're gone, we're done, we'll pay you to this date, but we don't know what's going to happen after that. Or there's other ones where you know, you might be a teaching staff and the school says, we're not coming back for the rest of the year, and we're not sure if we're going to be paying you in that interim. You know, like the teaching staff helpers and things of that nature. What do we do with, I mean, those are the people that we're relying on something, and now we as a church are still going to be needing funds because that's how it works. And no one has funds. And so, I mean, this is going to get worse before it gets better, my dear listener. No one wants to tell you that, because we all want to keep a good stiff upper lip, but this is going to get worse before it gets better. Not because I want it to, but because it's the nature of the beast.
You think it's going to get worse, sure, before it gets better. You think it's going to get
worse.
I'm
not a prophet, but
you know, what we're trying to do is think ahead, trying to stay one step ahead of the other coronavirus curve.
Right. It's going to come back again. It did it in China. I mean, they're looking at it and they're saying it went through, right? And now it came back and it's coming through again.
Yep.
So it's going to come back.
That's the pattern. And then people develop, those who are sick and recover help to develop the immunity. And that's when the virus loses its
steam.
Yes.
And so, like I said, this is just the first wave, and we haven't even peaked. I had an opportunity to talk with a nurse when I went in to go and get my stuff taken care of and my pump out. And I was talking with the nurse, and the nurse said, we're not even trying to stop it, because they can't. They said, we're trying to control when that peak hits so that we're ready. And that made a lot of sense. That made a lot of sense to me. And they said, you know, we need it to come through so that we can build up an immunity to it in some way, shape, or form, so that when it comes through again, we're not going to be hit as hard, you know? And that makes sense. But ministry still goes on, because, like I just preached this morning, I had an awesome opportunity. I'm preaching on Romans 8. So if you have an opportunity, go onto Maribel's website, stjohnmaribel.com. You can hear it. Whatever. But
don't operate heavy machinery while you're listening to it.
Yeah, probably not, because you need to participate, stand up, sit down, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, we'll go with that.
but what a wonderful opportunity. I'm preaching on Romans 8, right? And the very first words in Romans, as Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's coming to the end of the catechesis part of Romans, and he opens up with those beautiful words as he says that, and right now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I think about that to myself, and I said, you know, how many of us right now are afraid, right? Because the schools have shut down, and so parents now have their kids. And some of the schools have said, here's homework that your kids should be working on. And now the parents are in charge of doing the teaching, right? They're in charge of doing the teaching, or holding the kids accountable to the teaching and to the learning. And there's an anxiety there. There's a fear there that's leading to guilt, because I don't think I'm going to do it right. There's a guilt there for the person who thinks my job's going to lay me off, or there's a fear there of what's going to happen. There's anxiety of going on about, you know, am I carrying the disease because I'm being bullheaded and not listening to what other people are saying and just doing my own thing? And now maybe deep down there's a little bit of anxiety if one of my friends gets sick or someone I know gets sick. Did I carry that to them? Was I the one that helped spur that on, or could I have stopped it? There's this anxiety, and with it comes that, with that fear and anxiety comes this guilt, right? This guilt, and that guilt condemns us. And what beautiful words for us to share with our people. And I know you're preaching on the epistle too. I know that. And I'm not going to let you spoil it for them, because they get to hear that coming up. But what great words to hear that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because all of our guilt, all of our fear, all of our anxiety, all of our our sin that we've done and the failures that we have participated in and our mistakes that we come naturally placed in Christ, right?
We're dead, now be free to live.
Yeah. Yes, the law of the Spirit of life. Notice, I am going back to Romans 8. I know we're working on words, and it's not necessarily in the conversation, but you notice throughout that entire section of Romans 8, 1 through 10, nomos, 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 law, law, law. Never a different word. Always the same law. Just once fulfilled in Christ, and one we can't do and makes us feel guilty. And when we fail, it's because of Christ that we are comforted and we are made a success. In the changing world, he is the unchanging. In a world that seems to be flushing down the toilet, he is the only one that we can grab onto.
You had mentioned before, this is not the first pandemic that Christians have gone through. It makes me think going back 500 years ago, and actually Luther, Martin and Katie Luther, living during the Black Plague. And it amazes me what those two had done during that plague.
Didn't he write a tract about it?
I think he wrote a tract about it. But, you know, looking at what he and Katie opened up the parsonage to the sick, their parsonage was open for all of those things to begin with. But actually, Luther lost a couple of, at least one child.
Miscarriage, wasn't it?
Plague. Pardon?
If I remember the story correctly, wasn't it Katie was pregnant and it was a miscarriage?
Okay.
He lost a child.
Either way, that qualifies as losing a child.
Right. And I know he suffered huge guilt from that because he felt that he should have at least sent her away.
Yep. And as if she was going to go anyway.
Well, yes, I know.
Yeah. As if she was going to go anyway. But, you know, this isn't the first time that the churches have gone through this. Once again, as I talk to you, you know, you've talked to medical professionals. Here, as I serve three churches out in South Dakota, I have two medical professionals that one each in two of the three congregations. And these gals have brought to me their concerns beforehand. We're actually concerned that I wasn't acting quickly enough. I understand and respect where they're coming from, and I want to say that again. And it was actually their guidance and counsel that pressed me to start working and pushing the leadership as well. That being said, once again, as pastors, as congregations, this is what we wrestle with, coming back kind of full circle. How do we stay away from the frenzy and the panic and try to hold that narrow Christian middle of the road? This is difficult, because I will admit there's part of me that says, and these two gals from church will probably kill me for saying this, but once again, the flu kills more people than this corona ever will.
So far.
But I mean, even if you look in other countries, at least the infectious rate, even in China and in Italy, where it's running rampant right now, it's still not greater than the flu.
No, flu's 21,000 to like 60, no, 21,000, 64,000, something like that a year.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at, and this is where, and I'm not saying I have the answer, but this is what I'm mentally and spiritually struggling with, Will, is this. How do I, I think all of us, we don't want to dig a hole for ourselves and make ministry more difficult than it needs to be either.
Right. Right. And you know, that struggle, you're right. I'm with you. Because there's a part of me that says, put a mask on, put some gloves on, come to church. But I think I would be underselling it. I would because I know I have some older people in my congregation. I have some people that have breathing issues in my congregation, and I'd love to say, hey, use some common sense. If you're in that boat, don't come. But let's face it, both of us know that the only people that come to church and actually the first people that are there are always the people that shouldn't be the ones coming out.
Yes.
Because they realize they need it the most.
And how many decisions do we make during the course of the winter, especially out here in the western part of the United States? We make decisions for not having church protecting those people because the young people won't show up, and they're the ones physically able to actually do that.
Sure. But and they won't show up because of whatever reason.
The older people, the ones at risk, are the ones who will not stay home. So we make the decision for our leaders, make the decision for them to protect them.
Right. And I agree. And I think that's where we're at. So, you know, doing ministry is, man, it's exciting and it's really going to sound bad. As busy as I was this week, it's exciting. I felt it was exciting. It was exciting to try to say, all right, guys, what's plan A, what's plan B, what's plan C? And even how fast that went right through all plan A, plan B, and we settled on plan C. It was exciting to really get people in the leadership in the church and the people within the church to start thinking, Pastor, how are we going to do this? Because you can't do it. You can't be everywhere now, but now it's up to us. How are we going to do this? Like my evangelism committee, man, just props to my evangelism committee. They got a basket thing that they're starting where, because we're probably not going to be able to meet for Easter, that looks like it's going to be out of the picture. And one of the things they said is they said people in our congregation are going to need hope. They're going to need hope and comfort. So they're going to do a basket exchange. They're going to coordinate over email a basket exchange. Then people drop them off at the church. Other people can come at different times to pick them up with their name on it. Just an amazing way to just say, you know what? You're not forgotten. We still know you. We love you. I probably didn't know you from Adam. But you know what? I care because we're part of this body of Christ, and we want to share this time with you because the resurrection is important for all of us. What an awesome thing to start thinking about, right? And for people to start, as they're out there still living their life in more self-seclusion, to say, I got a family that I'm making a basket for. What types of things can I put in that basket? Do I make the basket? Do I have handmade stuff? Do I get, you know, hey, it's a husband and wife. They don't have kids. Maybe they need a drink. And I go and I get them a bottle of wine. I don't know what wine they like, but I'm just going to try, you know, whatever it is. Just to say, and then a note that says, you know, the Lord is still in control. He is the master of our hearts. And just as he gave everything for us, we are given to you too. Right? We're given to you too. Yep. What a good way to do ministry. And now these people that at one time I think can so easily look to just the pastor to do the work, or can so easily look to just like a council to do the work, or a select few to do the work. It's kind of exciting to see more of them, not all of them, but it's exciting to see more of them start to ask the question, what can I do? What? How is this going to look, and where can I fit into it?
Yeah,
that's exciting. To me, that's exciting.
Yeah. Yes. And God willing, this won't be a situation that lasts long. I've heard talk on the news that this could be something that they'd feel that they're not going to eradicate in this calendar year.
Well, yeah, I think we heard the same thing. They're saying 18 months between all the cycles, possibly.
Keep in mind, this is something else other people have brought up too. We'll see. We'll soon get to see how this goes, I'm thinking. But, you know, you look at, we've had the SARS scare. We've had the swine flu. All of that thing, which all of those things, in fact, there are lists going out on how all these things seem to come up on election years too. That's a whole other topic of discussion, which we're not going to touch with a 10-foot pole. but we have been, once again, just it seems there are people that are talking about this. We've been through things similar before and we haven't reacted like this. And I think that's where some concern comes to.
Sure. You know, I think the major concern is really being hit because it's so worldwide and wide sweeping. There's really not a part in the world that's not being affected by it. And I think that's kind of the thing that's really scaring people. One of the things that, and you've brought this up to me on so many times, and it's finally sunk in because, you know, my head's a little thick and it takes a little bit. But remember how you'd always used to tell me, you know, the time of the judges where there rose a generation who didn't know the Lord and everyone sort of did what they wanted to do. And I just went back this week in some of my free time and I just started to read portions of Judges again. And it just kept bringing back to my mind, you know, is this God's way of allowing something like this to happen to give us a wake up call?
I am not going to argue with that.
You know,
we can agree on the fact that we know scripture tells us he's got a plan with everything. It'll pan out. Maybe it'll pan out what it is. Maybe not. Your thought there is just as valid as I've heard come from the mind of any other Christian.
Well, but I mean, it's just one of those things that I keep thinking about. It's like, you know, the thing that just strikes me is, you know, how much we take for granted God's preservation, right? How much we take for granted that we are really frail creatures when you think about it. We are not that sturdy and that strong. And God's preservation just, it's immense and it's so wide encompassing for everybody as he gives them a time of grace to come to know his son as Lord and Savior. And I just think, you know, it just struck me. Like I said, I was reading Judges and it just struck me and it says, you know, is this one of those times where the Lord just pulls back a fraction of that preservation? Just like not even a percent. Not even a percent of the preservation that he gives to us as his children, as his creation. And he just pulls back and he says, you think you're so good. You think you can do everything. You think that you can make it without me. Let me just draw back this little bit and see how you fare. And you know, is it? I don't know. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's hard and fact and true, but it just makes you think.
Conversation we had yesterday. People you and I know aren't the only people that are panicking over some of the frenzy that's happened with the stock market.
Yeah.
And I really believe in this situation, this is God saying, you know what? What part of do not worry don't you understand? And I feel hypocritical for saying that because I struggle with that too, but it still doesn't take away from the Lord's truth that says, don't worry. Right. I have everything in control. It might look to you like everything's turning flip upside down, but I'm in control. Trust me, man. You know, and no matter if I've got $1 million invested in the stock market, which is on a big downturn, or whether I have $5 in it. You know what? I'm still as dependent on God, whether I have $5 in there or 10 million.
And you're right. And, you know, it brings up to mind my big class just from last night, you know, the conversations that Jesus has with his disciples. How many times did he remind them, I need to go to be mocked. I need to go to suffer and die. It's in our readings, right? For this morning,
yes.
for this weekend, not Hosea, but the gospel lesson. And he says over and over, he says, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. And they worry about such trivial things like who's going to sit on his right and who's going to sit on his left.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're missing the point, people. You're missing the point. And then when the point comes and it's time, they're all like, no, why is this happening?
Speaking of which, this too, as you bring up the point of those lessons, dear listeners, if you pick up the podcast on Google Podcasts or on Apple Podcasts or Google Play, you will find under this podcast. You'll also find the Rosebud Radio Service in there too, which we're including for people who can't pick that up here in this part of the world. Anyway, that being said, Pastor Henning's sermon for this Sunday is just, it's on this text and is a beautiful, beautiful encouragement on this, what we're talking about.
And there you go. And once again, dear listeners, this is the purpose of our podcast. Not just that you hear the ramblings of myself and of Don, but that we have an outlet for other people, God-fearing people, to share Christ with you. And so, hey, that's great. I'm glad we can use that. And so that'll be up there for you. But coming back to the topic at hand, we often are very short-sighted. And I think this COVID-19 scare is just another example of many examples of how nearsighted we are, right? We worry about the things that maybe we shouldn't worry about. Not saying, and I have to backtrack, I'm not saying don't be careful. I'm not saying don't wash your hands. I'm not saying don't put on a mask if you feel you should put on a mask. But do you really need to have to run to the supermarket and have 7 baskets of toilet paper? Do you really need to have, you know, like...
I have shared a room with you at conference.
Yeah, Don't even start with that. I think we both have stories about rooming at conference that we could share. But no, I mean, you don't need to have, I mean, rolls upon rolls upon rolls of toilet paper. Come on, guys and gals and people.
Now is not a time for hoarding. This is a time where we need to be considerate of our neighbor, our fellow man. I know I've heard it said in so many different ways. My cousin said the other day, my cousin who is, I love him to death. He's a bleeding heart liberal. Every once in a while comes out of his mouth, some really profound wisdom. And he said, you know, when people who have the money to hoard and do it, they're taking things away from people who don't have the money to do things like that. And we're taking from them the basic necessities. And there is so much wisdom in that.
Oh, there is. It's just basic common decency to say, and this is really a part of ministry too. So it's not off the track of our conversation, but it's a basic common decency to say, you know what, I'm going to go shopping for what I'm going to need for the next 2 weeks or next week or whatever else. And now, yes, maybe you buy one or two extra things so you have some extra stock. I get it. Okay, you go through 2 dozen eggs in a week, buy 3 dozen. Okay. I'm not going to have a problem with that. I don't know if anybody would have a problem with that. But let's be honest. Are you going to need like 12 dozen eggs unless you're making a cake? But you can't have the cake because the cake size that you're going to be making is going to be for more people than you can have gathering with you because you'd be breaking the law. So do you really need to have 12 dozen eggs? You know, this is just some common sense, people. Just common sense. You know, how can we do it in the safest way possible? How can we help reach out and support one another and talk with one another and share the hope and comfort that Christians have with one another?
Here's a situation where the words that we hear at the end of many a sermon, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. This is a time, again, as we look at worry, as we look at stress, as we look at frenzy, this is a time for us to, again, to put these things in God's hands, ask him for the guidance and the wisdom for us to practice so that people can see the light of Christ shining in us, how we're conducting ourselves. Because trust me, that's going to bring plenty of opportunity to show Christ to others.
And when it's all over, and you come back to church and the doors are open and the windows are open and the sun is shining and the organ starts up again and people start raising their voices, we'll all have a reason to give praise to our Lord who has seen us through yet another thing that we have no power or control over. And we'll once again have an opportunity to sing praises to our Lord as he showers his gifts upon us in word and sacrament and says, Why did you ever doubt, you of little faith, right? Why did you ever doubt?
You know, dear listeners, I'm trying not to take any of this situation lightly. But you know what? I can lay down my head at night in peace and get a really peaceful night's sleep.
Yeah.
And it's not because of anything about me. It's because I'm resting and you are resting in the arms of our Savior, of our God, our provider, who promises that the gates of hell are never, ever going to prevail against his church.
Amen. And you know what? And then I can wake up in the morning, know I have more than enough work on my plate to try to find ways to bring that gospel, that consolation, and those gifts to you in new ways in the situation in which we find ourselves. Because that's a challenge in itself that is worth taking on. And that's a fun job. You and I would both agree that being in the ministry is not dull. It is something new every day.
Not by any stretch of the imagination. The only thing that maybe that's some who know me would say, especially my wife and daughter, that would say is more exciting is probably just having a relationship with me. But that's a whole other, that would go into marriage and family counseling. But
and we don't have time to try to unravel all your problems.
No one has time for that.
Well, dear listener, we took a pause from what our intention was for today so that we could just have a conversation about what I think people are afraid about and fearful about and worried about. Hopefully this has brought you some hope and comfort. I'm going to direct you to Zion and Colombe's YouTube page, where you can participate at 10:30 on Sunday with a hopefully live service, if not a recording that they'll be able to put up there for you. I also invite you to come to St. John Maribel.com's website and go to our live stream section, and you can have a worship service there that you can participate in, as well as at 10:30 on Sunday, a live Bible study that we invite you to hop on in and join through the interwebs and the clouds above us that are carrying all of these signals to everybody into every home. Other than that, I think next week, unless something drastically happens and all of a sudden the Lord returns and we don't have to worry about this anymore.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Some of you might be saying that right now. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I don't want to have to bear with this anymore. But if nothing happens, then I think our goal is that we're going to continue on with our regularly scheduled broadcast topics. We're going to pick right back up with that Bible study that was put out by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod on men and women, and have a good discussion on maybe talking through some of those issues. And once again, we're just going to cast the nets and see what the gospel can win, because it works and the Spirit works. Last words, my fellow brother.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look with favor on you and give you his peace.
Amen.